The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America. Streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Another great day, and it's a great day because we are so close to being ready for the U.S. Open. It is right around the corner. It'll be tomorrow. The first group teeing off at 7 in the morning local time, and it's going to be phenomenal. Again, Tim Matthews with you here in the Dallas studios. We have Frank Bassett joining us, and he's on location, as always. Frank's our man on the road. He hasn't had to leave the city limits of Nashville this time, but he did have to leave the comforts of his studio. And so Frank joins us now from the Nashville Golf and Athletic Club, the site of the Web.com event this week, and that's the Nashville Golf Open. And Frank joins us from the comforts of the men's locker room. Frank, how are you doing there this morning?
Hey, doing great. We're working out. We're stretching. We're changing clothes. Titleist is here with about 100,000 Pro V1 Xs that I'm going to back the car up and
he's going to say that they'll never see again.
They'll never see again. And this is great. The inaugural Nashville Golf Open at Nashville Golf and Athletic Club, as you said. And, you know, Tim, this course, oddly enough, originally was Crockett Springs Golf Course, and it was originally designed to host a U.S. Open.
Small greens.
Oh, boy, you're asking
like a long time,
that.
Like 50, 60 years ago or 20 years ago?
No, like 40 years ago.
40 years ago, okay.
Yeah, and I'll get on my crack research here and let you know exactly when it was built. I should know that, but I don't.
But
it changed the Nashville Golf and Athletic Club. Jack Nicklaus made a bid to buy this at one time. He was so impressed with the course.
Really?
Yeah. So it's a beautiful layout, and we've gotten to talk to some players this morning, which we've recorded some interviews that we'll plug into the show a little later today. And so it's fun. It's fun to be home for a week and see a lot of my friends and a lot of my enemies. And
sometimes it's the same person. We have Patrick Nichol joining us in just a little bit with Frank. He's the tournament director there at the Nashville Golf Open, so we'll be talking to him. But we also have Steve Johnson, who will be calling in very shortly, and he'll talk to us because he's our man on the spot. He is in Oakmont, and he is there with Sang Kang, one of his players that he works with, a Korean player that qualifies for the U.S. Open, and they've been they're actually out on the golf course, and he'll call us from the golf course, but give us a bird's eye view of what's going on with the conditions. They've had a little bit of rain there this morning at Oakmont, but he'll let us know about the incredible fast greens we've all heard about, and the narrow fairways and the thick rough and everything else, because he's been there for the last couple of days with some practice rounds, and it's really, as he says, he goes, it's going to be a challenge unlike any other. And he said, Tim, you know, the yips you sometimes get with your chipping. And I said, yes, thank you for reminding me. And he said, well, he goes, you would have driver yips and putting yips and chipping yips and fairway wood yips. He goes, you just can't believe how challenging this golf course is for these guys. So, we'll talk with Steve here very shortly about Oakmont, because the rumors are apparently true that it is a monster of a test for these guys playing at the U.S. Open. And, Frank, we've been talking about it, started talking about it last week, the U.S. Open, and all we've been hearing is it's just as challenging as they were talking about it a couple of weeks leading into it. A lot of people are saying it's going to be almost impossible for somebody to win this tournament under par. They all are predicting it's going to be from par to over par, like it was last time they played there in 2007 when Angel Cabrera won with a 5-over score. A lot of people think it's going to be at least that again this time. It's kind of amazing, isn't it, when you watch these pros that are used to shooting four rounds in the 60s and 15 under for a tournament to try to win a tournament at 5 or 6 over par.
Well, Mike Davis comes out of his cave once a year. And the horns show through his head. If he takes his head off, you'll see he has little horns, because the way he sets up that golf course, only the devil could could be that mean. Yeah. I will tell you, it's going to be tough. But interestingly enough, Roy McIlroy yesterday in his press conference said this course doesn't actually play as long as it says. It just doesn't feel that long to him. Now,
really?
That's easy for him to say. Yeah. I didn't get that in the press conference, why he would say that, because he talked about, you know, the uphill par four that's ridiculously long. And he said, but it just doesn't seem that long. It doesn't play that long to me. Well, not when you hit the ball 325 yards every time you touch it. So
yeah, well,
maybe so. But it's going to be narrow. I mean, they spray it. Goodbye. See ya.
Yeah. Very penal. And, of course, a lot of the eyes of the golf world will be on Jordan Spieth, seeing if he can become the first man since Curtis Strange to win back-to-back U.S. Opens. It's something that not too many golfers have ever done, certainly, and even the great ones, Tiger, Jack, to win back-to-back is a very rare thing indeed. And we'll see if Jordan's got the game. He's been so hot and cold all this season, but certainly played very well at Colonial, at the Dean and DeLuca, then turned around and didn't play so well at Memorial. So, okay, and he played well at the Byron Nelson until the final round. So he's got good and bad all mixed in there, so it'll be very interesting to see how exactly Jordan Spieth plays this game. The world number one is everybody's, I'm not saying everybody's favorite, but certainly everybody thinks that Jason Day has a very, very good shot to win his first U.S. Open. The way his game is has been very, very consistent, much unlike McIlroy or Spieth of the big three guys. It seems like Day has been the most consistent driver, putting, everything else is working for him. Certainly length isn't a problem for him to be able to get to some of these holes, including that one monster par three. That's almost 300 yards. So, yeah, we'll see. And by the way, well, we do have Steve. He's just joined us now, so I know he's very busy. We'll try to squeeze him in here, and he's got to get back out to doing some work. Steve Johnson, Stevie Ray, are you with us? How you doing?
I am with you, Tim. Good morning.
Good morning. So let's talk about Oakmont. You and I have talked the last couple of days about the beast that is Oakmont. You've been out there for a couple of days and walked the course. Is it everything everybody has talked about as far as the playability of this and how brutal this golf course could play this weekend?
Let me tell you this, Tim. I don't think there's any doubt that this course is going to separate the men from the boys. The guys that are pretenders, man, they are going to have weekend off this weekend.
Is it the fairways that are so narrow and tight and so penal if you miss the fairways that make it the biggest challenge? Or is it when you get to the greens, and I guess it's a combination of all this, but which do you think is going to be the bigger factor, the guys that are having trouble with the driver or the ones that can't putt?
You know, what they're projecting the scores to be, you know, if it doesn't rain, like they're projecting some rain this evening, I don't think it's going to soften the course up too much. It definitely won't soften the greens up because they'll squeegee that water off as fast as it's coming down. They're going to get the water off of those greens. The fairways, if the fairways soften up a little bit, it's going to be pretty easy to hit fairways here. Now, the fairways are sloped, and I'm going to paint a picture here for you guys about Oakmont. The high point of the whole property is where the clubhouse is. Everything comes off a hill. It's on the side of a hill going down to creeks and valleys. So everything is kind of sloped away from the clubhouse. I'm on the 12th hole right now, and it's downhill. The clubhouse is in the background of the tee, and it's sloped downhill, breaking severely from left to right the fairway. So if these fairways get hard and fast, the essential width of these fairways are going to be about 10 yards wide. It benefits a player that can hit high, really high shots that don't roll out. So we're looking for high ball hitters. Rory is at a huge advantage in that way if it stays fast and hard. The greens, I've only seen three of the greens on the back nine so far, but I was told that the greens on the back nine are a lot more severe in the humps and bumps than on the front side. Front side reminded me a lot of Memorial a couple weeks ago, where you do have a lot of slope in the green, but the slope is just in one direction. You know, it's from right to left or back to front. They're gentle slopes. They have very few areas when these greens get fast like they're going to put the pins. So, I think it's going to be someone that, if it doesn't rain hard, it's going to be someone that's a high ball hitter that has a lot of imagination, that is a good putter. And this is, to call it a test of golf is an understatement. It is a final exam, comprehensive final exam is what it is.
We're joined by Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf, who's joining us from Oakmont Country Club and has been there the last couple of days. You and I talked yesterday, Steve, and you're saying, okay, the greens might be big enough. They might say they're 4,000 square feet on a particular green, but the effective area that you can actually land a ball and have it be in a position to make a putt or have a shot at a birdie is a much smaller part of that 4,000 square feet, more like 5,000, more like 1,000 square feet of that, or even 800 square feet. You have to be precise with your approaches to these greens, don't you?
That's exactly right. And, you know, I purchased topo of every green yesterday. There's a company called Tour Sherpa. You can probably, the listeners can get it online, and they can see the slopes on these greens. And not only do they have the topo slopes, but they have the percentage slope. So what I did last night is I marked on every green at any slope greater than 4%, because a 4% slope, the ball will not stay on it. The ball will roll off of that 4% slope. Anything less than 4, the ball has an opportunity to come to rest. Once I marked a number of these greens, the effective area that they could put pins is so small, it's like two-thirds of the green is sloped more than 4, and a third of the green is flat enough to put a pin placement. So these are going to be very, very severe, potentially severe pin placements, and you've got to put your ball in the right spot.
And you also said that the flat part where they're doing the slope meters and the stint meters, and they're measuring it at 14 or so is the flat area. If you get to any of these little ridges areas, you said you're talking more like a 16 on a stint, because that ball is going to roll that fast. Are we expecting to hear a lot of complaints, you think, after the first round of some unfairness that some of these guys that might shoot 77, 78 in the first round and are not happy, are they going to be complaining about the greens, you think, after the first round?
You know, if they're complaining, they're really unrealistic, because it's right out in front of them. They know where they need to put the ball. They need to have distance control is of utmost importance on the greens, as well as evaluating the slope. If someone's complaining, they're just not prepared. It's just like someone that's getting ready for a test and doesn't study and says, oh, that test was so hard, it was impossible. Well, the guys that are prepared are not going to say that. They're just going to tough it out. They know it's going to be a really long week, and you've got to get into a mindset where, hey, you know what, I've just got to position my ball correctly, and if I can do that, I'm going to be fine. If you go out there expecting for benefits and breaks in your direction, I think you're going to be disappointed. We're playing with a Japanese player right now. We're playing with Jim Furyk. I'm following Sung-Hoon Kang. We're playing with Tanu Taniguchi. He got it in the rough on the 11th hole, just about 10 feet off the fairway. Got it in the rough. Full swing, advanced it about 10 feet.
Wow.
And he's not a big player. He's not a real strong guy. He's not a big player. Everyone's going to hit the rough at some point this week. You've got to be a strong player. You've got to be physically strong to hack the ball out of this rough and to advance it.
So we're talking with Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf. Other than Sang Kang, who's one of your guys that you work with, and you certainly want him to win the whole thing, I understand, but let's put him aside and hope he has a great tournament. Who would you like in this tournament? You're watching Furyk. He certainly has played very, very well and won a U.S. Open. He's from that area, so he knows Oakmont very well. Is there a couple of names that would pop up to you that you like? Are they the normal names we'd think of Spieth and Day, or are there some other guys that you think might walk away with the trophy on Sunday?
You know, I think Day may have a hard time here this week, to be honest, Tim. You know, you've got to hit the fairways. On the front nine, I didn't see the guys hitting a lot of drivers. Now, there are a few drivers on the back nine, but the longer players may not hit any drivers out here. Even the 600-yard par fives, which there are two of them, Sung Kang yesterday hit three wood onto the par five on the front nine with no problem. So it's not like you need a lot of distance and you're taking it to the max. It's dissimilar to Quail Hollow and the Memorial, where the Bombers do have a big advantage. This is a placement type course. I don't think the distance is going to be an issue. When we talk about distance, though, Tim, we're talking about strength. And strength is going to be an issue. To get it out of this rough is going to be it's going to require some testosterone for sure.
A lot of people bring up the eighth hole because it's the longest par three in major championship history and longest U.S. Open history. Plays it roughly 288 yards is where it played in 2007. They'll have it at different places on all 4 days, but it could be up to a 300-yard par three, which seems almost inconceivable for the average golfer. It is a little bit downhill. Is it an unfair hole, or is it something that these guys, even at 300 yards or close to that, that a professional golfer can get to that hole with a hybrid, a three wood, whatever they're hitting into it, and realistically think it's gonna be a par hole?
Well, yesterday they were only hitting, it was a little bit downwind yesterday, but yesterday they were only hitting about a 230-yard carry shot, and then it would release to the green. So okay. I don't think that's going to be, it's going to be, if it gets hard and fast, it's going to be a little bit of a goofy hole. But, you know, it's just another example of Mike Davis making the, commanding some attention, because everyone's talking about Mike Davis and what is he going to do. You know, until Mike Davis was executive director in charge of competitions with the USGA, no one even knew who the competitions chairman was. I hope he just doesn't make it real goofy. I look back at last year, and they got the course so hard and so fast, and the greens were so bad. I think the last Open that I really enjoyed was Torrey Pines. Maybe it was because Tiger won.
It could have been. That was a nice one. But it wasn't bad at Pinehurst either. I liked seeing Keimer. He was the only one that seemed to be able to play that. But it's the U.S. Open, and it brings out the best of the best. And the cream of the crop usually rises, and we'll see who it might be. But it will be exciting. It will be interesting, nevertheless, whoever is holding up the trophy on Sunday. Hey, Steve, I know you got a lot of stuff going on, and we appreciate you taking some time to talk to us. Best of luck to Tsang and yourself for this tournament, and we'll talk to you again probably next week to give us a recap of what you saw out there, okay?
Perfect. Thanks a lot, Tim.
All right, we appreciate it. Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf, coming to us live from Oakmont Country Club out on the course with Jim Furyk and some other golfers watching them play. And what a thrill to be able to just be there. I wish I'd see it, because so many of us don't get a chance to see these venues. We hear about it. We watch it on TV. You listen to us, and we try to give you as much perspective, but it's nothing quite like being there in person. We're going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour. We'll come back, and Frank Bassett is in Nashville at the Nashville Golf Open at Nashville Golf and Athletic Club for the inaugural Web.com Tour event in Nashville, and we'll be joined by the tournament director, Patrick Nickel. When we come back, you're listening to Golf Talk America on PGA Tour Radio. Welcome back, Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in with you in the Dallas studios. And again, thanks to Steve Johnson for joining us, talking about what's going on right there at Oakmont. Nothing like being there in person and seeing the fairways and the roughs and the greens and the players hitting balls. And we really appreciate Steve taking time to do that. As I said earlier, we've been talking with Frank Bassett also, normally in our Nashville studios, but he got out of the studio in time to head over to the Nashville Golf and Athletic Club, the site of the inaugural Web.com Tour event in Nashville, the Nashville Golf Open. And Frank, earlier today, you had a chance to talk to a couple of the participants in the Nashville Golf Open.
I did. I got here early this morning before the Pro-Am kicked off, and had an opportunity to meet a couple of really nice young men, good players on the Web.com Tour. Joel Damon, one, and Matt Atkins, the other, and pre-recorded a couple of quick interviews with them before they went out to play. So, you know, that being said, let's hear a little bit about both these guys and what they had to say to me earlier this morning.
Frank Bassett here, reporting from the Web.com event, the Nashville Golf Open, the inaugural Nashville Golf Open here in Nashville, Tennessee, Web.com Tour. And I have Joel Damon with me right now. Joel is from the Spokane, Washington area, first time here at this golf course. Of course, it's the inaugural event, so it would be the first time. You haven't had a chance, Joel, to get out on the course yet, so you're in for a treat, I can tell you. I know this course. I've played it a bunch, and it beats me. It won't beat you. You've got game. Joel, welcome in.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. Yeah,
it's good to have you on Golf Talk America, PGA Tour Radio. Let me ask you this. How long have you been on the Web.com Tour? How long have you been playing?
This is my second year out on the Web Tour. I played on PGA Tour Canada for 5 years prior to this.
Now, PGA Tour Canada, then you may be familiar with one of our counterparts up there, Mark Zucchino, who does Golf Talk Canada. He looks like Sergio Garcia. Fakes everybody out. He tries to make them think he's Sergio Garcia, but he does a lot of PGA Tour play-by-play radio for us. So what's going on in your life? What's happening? And then, you know, I know you just came out of Chicago. You were at the Rust-Oleum, and I don't want to miss the chance to talk about Chase 54, which is one of your sponsors, and also Barbasol, our good friend Tom Murray's company.
Yeah. We're just in the middle of a long stretch of golf here. I think we're going to play 11 of 12 weeks, and we're on the second one, so... you know, we're just going city by city. We've had a really good run. We're in Dominican Republic a few weeks ago, Chicago last week, and here in Nashville this week.
Well, welcome to Nashville. This place is pretty phenomenal. Have you had a chance to get out and around Nashville at all?
Yeah, actually we have. My girlfriend's in town, and my caddy's wife is here, and we're staying with a good friend here. So we went to Broadway last night. We were down at Pinewood Social. We went to Tootsie's Bar with some live music there. Had some beer. So it was a lot of fun last night.
Yeah, Nashville's a great place, and you came into Nashville on the heels of the Country Music Festival, which we have every year here. And Bonnaroo is right down the road, which is, you wouldn't remember, you're too young. I'm old enough to remember Woodstock, and Bonnaroo is Woodstock on steroids.
I have heard that, yeah.
Yeah, it's a wild, wild time. Now, Joel, you right now you're 28th on the money list. You've got 7 cuts made and 11 starts, including 4 top 10s. And you were diagnosed with cancer back in February of 2011. You've fully recovered, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have. It was a scary time, obviously, but I've been 5 years clean, and I have a clean bill of health.
That's fabulous. God bless your heart for that, buddy, I'll tell you. Now, what you did from that, which is very admirable, and you told me about this a little earlier this morning, you work with a foundation. Tell us a little bit about the foundation, and tell us also how people, if they want to get in touch to help support that foundation, how they can do that.
Yeah, it's called Send It Foundation, and it's based out of Tahoe, and it's for young adult cancer survivors. There's a lot of stuff for young kids and the elder with cancer, but there's not a whole lot for, you know, ages 20 to 40 with cancer, young, healthy adults. And so they started this as just a foundation to have people get away for a weekend. You can go boating, you can go skiing. It's just a place to hang out and have a good time and kind of get away from the cancer, basically. And so you can go to senditfoundation.com, and you can donate to there, and you can check out kind of what they're doing online.
Absolutely. You know, I would encourage all of our listeners to get involved. A dollar, $100, $1 million, whatever you can give, 50 cents. It doesn't matter. It all adds up, and it's all for a fabulous cause. Now, you're playing in the Pro-Am this morning, and I think you tee off at 9 o'clock, I believe. Have you met any of your team members yet?
Yeah, I'm lucky enough. It's actually a friend of a friend, kind of, that I've met a few times. But he's a local business guy here, and he's a ton of fun. He's got a few of his buddies out, and I'm actually staying with him this week. So, we actually drove the golf course together this morning. We cooked dinner, so I think it'll be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a blast. Listen, welcome to Nashville, Tennessee. Thank you for coming. Thank you for working with that foundation. That's a subject I won't reach into right now, but very near and dear to my heart also is cancer and the foundations that help support to find a cure for that horrible disease. Joel Damon, play well out there, buddy.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Joining me now is Matt Atkins. Matt's originally, or was born in Pennsylvania, lives up in Owensboro, Kentucky, which is kind of close to our good friends at French Lick. Matt, welcome to Golf Talk America.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. Now, you've done pretty well so far. You're 14th on the money list after finishing 174th last year. Division II All-American from USC Aiken, and that is the USC, University of South Carolina in Aiken, South Carolina, not USC in California, a real southern school. So, Matt, you've gotten out there, and you've had a chance to play, I guess, 14 holes so far. Tell me a little bit about the course and what you think of it so far.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good test of golf. There's a lot of difficult holes out there. The greens are very, very small and undulating in a lot of spots. So I think the guys are really going to enjoy this week. I think it's a long, narrow golf course with small greens, and it really depends on how long they want us to play the golf course. But I think this has potential to be one of the higher scoring events that we play. So I think a lot of guys enjoy that. I think they like the challenge and the fact that you have to go out there and hit quality shots, and if you don't, you're going to make some bogeys.
Now, this course was originally designed, it used to be Crockett Springs Country Club, and it was designed to host a U.S. Open. So it's funny it's good that the Web.com Tour is here the same week as the U.S. Open, and you're playing a course that was designed for the U.S. Open, so you'll have a little familiarity with the guys that are up in Pennsylvania right now, your homestead grounds, whatever, from there. So what's up with you? What are you going to do from Nashville? Where are you heading after this?
Next week we play in Wichita, Kansas. So hopefully I'll be here late on Sunday, and we can fly out Monday morning to Wichita. but I'm definitely going to enjoy the time that I have here. We're only a couple hours from home, so I've been to Nashville a few times, so enjoying this week and ready to go play 72 holes.
It's being so close to Nashville, I guess you've had a chance to go downtown, spend some time with some of our honky-tonks and Tootsies and some of those fun places in Nashville, Tennessee, and it's just a pleasure to have you guys here. The inaugural Nashville Golf Open Tournament, hopefully many, many years of bringing the Web.com tour here. You know, Nashville's been void of a tournament for a long time. It used to have the Bell South Classic here, which was a senior tour in those days, called the senior tour, now PGA Tour Champions. But so what's your call? I have to ask you this. What's your call on the U.S. Open? Who do you like in the U.S. Open?
Oh, man, it's it's so hard to predict what's going to happen. I mean, it's such a from everything that I've seen, it's just going to be a brutal test of golf. So, I mean, it's really – you got to look at guys who have shown that they're patient and that they can go out there and grind it out. I mean, it's really hard to bet against the top, you know, 5, 10, 20 guys in the world. You know, I feel like Spieth does a really good job of, you know, kind of staying in it and everything. You know, he admitted earlier this year he was getting frustrated and things like that. So, I mean – I feel like he's always got a good chance. And then, gosh, it's just going to be crazy. Oakmont looks like it's just going to be nuts. So, I mean, some people are talking DJ. Some guys are talking, you know, Jason Day and Rory and Spieth. I mean, it's going to be so so crazy. But I think what's awesome about golf and you know, today is that there's 100 other guys there that could easily go out there and have a great week and win. So, I don't really want to pick a winner and leave those guys out because I know they're all capable of going out there and winning.
Listen, I really appreciate you taking time before the Pro-Am today to stop by and talk to us at Golf Talk America on PGA Tour Radio. And please, you know, become a friend of ours. Come back on the show and tell us about your experience maybe next week if you have a moment before you tee it up in Wichita.
Yeah, have me anytime. I'll be ready.
Or maybe we'll be interviewing you in front of the Flash area on Sunday evening. That would be a nice thing. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So there you have it. Joel Damon and Matt Adkins, two great young men. They're out on the course right now competing, and both of them hoping to be interviewed by us on Sunday evening. So, you know, they're looking forward to it, Tim. Interesting guys. Great little conversations.
And again, there's just no way of stating it any other way. The players on the Web.com tour are just a notch below. And in some cases – have been on the PGA Tour in the past as well. So very, very good golfer. So I encourage anybody we both do that's in the Nashville area to go check them out at the Nashville Golf and Athletic Club for the Web.com event, the Nashville Golf Open. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by the guy who helped put this whole tournament together in Nashville, the Web.com tournament. It's Patrick Nickel. He is the tournament director, and he has – some good things to say about the city of Nashville and bringing the tournament, getting golf back in Nashville and Tennessee in general. It's becoming a mecca of golf. And Patrick Nickel, the tournament director, he'll join us when we come back. You're listening to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio. Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in the Dallas studios, and we just got finished talking with Steve Johnson, managing partner of Hank Haney Golf, who's coming to us from the 116th U.S. Open at Oakmont to give us a preview of that big tournament, which will start tomorrow. Another big tournament getting underway will also be the Web.com Tour, the Nashville Golf Open at Nashville Golf and Athletic Club, and that's where our very own Frank Bassett, practically in his backyard, joins us now from the locker room at the Nashville Golf and Athletic Club. And you got a special guest for us, Frank.
I do have a special guest. We drug him off the golf course and made him come in here and sit down for 2 minutes. I know he's not really busy, so he can take breaks all day. Mr. Patrick Nickel, the tournament director. Patrick, welcome in.
Thanks, Frank, and thanks for getting me out of the rain. A little bit of rain right now. You drug me inside. I'll stay dry for a
while. Yeah, it is. It's starting to rain out there on us. This is not good. I brought my rain suit. It's out in the car.
All right. Well, I just talked to the weather guy. They said it's going to last about 10 minutes, and we'll be fine. So hopefully we don't have to drag it out too long.
Yeah, well, we've had some players on, and they've raved about being in Nashville and how much fun it is, and it's the it city, everyone says now. So, and I know you're responsible for multiple tournaments, one being the tournament in Knoxville, Tennessee on the Web.com Tour.
Yeah, we have our company manages Knoxville, Nashville, and also Evansville, Indiana. So we have a big heart for the Web.com tour.
Yeah, and so now Tennessee has three PGA Tour events.
Yeah, I think it's great.
And that's fabulous. So, Patrick, now how did this all get started, the Nashville Golf Open? How long have you been working on it, and how tough was it to get the tour back in Nashville?
If you really want to get down to it, we've been working on it for about 26 years. I actually grew up here in Nashville, and one of my best friends, Charlie Clarkson, was actually the head pro out here in the early 90s. And we used to talk about that's when the Ben Hogan Tour started. And I know the course was originally designed to host a PGA Tour event when Devlin and Von Hagee did it. And then rumors were always Nicklaus tried to buy it in the mid-'80s and thought we could host a U.S. Open here, all that kind of stuff. So in my mind, we've been talking about it for 25 years. The reality was about 5 years ago when the tour went to the new qualifying system with the four playoff events,
right.
We started talking to some folks in Nashville about hosting a playoff event. Unfortunately, timing wasn't perfect, didn't work out. And when the tour started looking for a few additional markets for 2016, Nashville was very high on the list. They were comfortable with the way our company manages events. They knew that I was from here. I've got some good relationships in town. And they said, look, this seems like it makes some good sense. We got a great partner here with Nashville Golf and the Whittemore family. And Brian Jorgensen's just unbelievable
great
director
guy.
Of golf.
Great
I mean,
guy. Yeah.
I call him Ficko, which is as good a compliment as I could give him. Steve Fickovich was our director of golf out at Winty Vineyards where he used to play mm-hmm. and was hands down the best professional I ever worked with at a course. And Brian's right there with him.
Now, you said Winty Vineyard. Carolyn Winty's company?
Carolyn Winty,
I know
absolutely.
Carolyn, yeah,
absolutely.
She
yeah.
sent me a bunch of wine. I met yeah. her at a Rosie Jones event in Atlanta. And that's the second – is that course the second course that Greg Norman designed in this country, isn't it?
It very well could be. And yeah, it's an awesome layout. And we played there in the mid-2000s for 3 or 4 years. And I got to know the Winty family real well. And you've mentioned Knoxville. We actually give our pro-am participants – each one of them gets a bottle of red and white wine from Winty Vineyards every year, and we use their wine for that tournament.
Well, you know, I've not been to that tournament. I'm going to make it a point to come over there, and we'll broadcast a couple of days live next time it's when it comes around. When is that?
It'll be August 15 to 21, and that's the oldest event on this tour. It's a great event. It's I tell people all the time, I may be the tournament director, but they do such a good job. I don't know half of what goes on and how they make it happen, but it's a special place.
You know, Tim Matthews is in our Dallas studios. Tim, I want to bring you into this conversation since
You're talking about wine?
Because we're talking about wine. And Bobby Raymond, our producer, I mean, let's all get involved in this, right?
I was going to say, we bring up whiskey, they bring in Tim. Oh, sure, let's talk about it. Hey, I do have a question, though, because Patrick, this golf course, as you said, has a very good heritage and was built for serious golfers. It taps out at 7,500-plus yards, including the third hole is a par 5, placed 660 from the tips. Sometimes I think people get the misnomer that if you're not on the PGA Tour, then you're not a great golfer and you can't hit the ball far. These guys are just a notch below playing, and many of them will be playing on the PGA Tour. And if people go out there and watch this, they'll see if you go, if you haven't been to a web.com tour, they'll see unbelievable talented golfers, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, right now for me, the greatest example of what the web.com tour is Smiley Kaufman. I mean,
yeah.
His story
sure.
is real simple. He got a sponsor exemption into Lafayette last year. He topped 25. He got in Evansville. He won. It got his PGA Tour card. He shoots 61 on Sunday to win the Shriners, I believe, his second PGA Tour start. And, you know, he played in the final group with Jordan Spieth in the Masters this year. I mean, you want to know what the web.com tour is all about? There you go. You think these guys aren't as good? Ask Smiley Kaufman if he's afraid of any of those guys out there.
Well, and you know, we have Tom Gillis is playing in this tournament this week. Tommy was just over in Memphis playing in the FedEx St. Jude Classic also.
Yeah, and Wesley Bryan is number one on our money list.
Yeah.
Wesley was top 10 going into the weekend. I know he didn't play real well on Saturday, and I didn't see how he finished up. But, hey, the guys on this tour can play. I mean, you look up and down that money list, I think the percentage is like 76%. Of all the guys on the PGA Tour came through our tour, and that number's going to go nowhere but up. It's a fine line, and a lot of it, to be quite honest, from what I'm told, is above your shoulders. You know, the guys that can think their way around a golf course, that know how to prepare better than others are the ones that are more successful. It's not about who has a better swing.
And Tim, that's why Tim doesn't play well. It's above the shoulders.
Well, Tim, maybe you and I can play together. I have the same problem.
I've got
Tim
nothing above my shoulders.
The yips.
Yeah,
Tim,
I can't dig into it.
Tim's best buddy is Paul Stankowski and Steve Johnson, Hein Caney's managing partner. You'd think he would have a golf game, you know? And every time Matthews comes on the show, you know, he's the host. But every time, what'd you do yesterday? Well, I played with President Bush yesterday, or I played here, or did this. You know, the guys, you ought to be on the tour, pal. Why don't you come over here?
I should be on some tour. It wouldn't be the web.com or the PGA, but there's some tour out there that I could play.
the hackers
tour or something. we're joined by Patrick Nichols, the tournament director at the Nashville Golf Open and being played at Nashville Golf and Athletic Club on the web.com tour. And you got Max Homa coming in after winning last week at the Rust-Oleum Championship. You've got all the top players on the web.com. But I'm curious, Patrick, from a ticket standpoint, everybody wants to sell tickets. Any event you're in, that's what you're there about, trying to sell tickets, whether it's an NBA game or NFL or web.com tour event. How's that gone so far? Has Nashville received the golf tournament pretty well so far?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with our hospitality sales have been good. Our pre-ticket sales have been really good. We're fortunate this week we've got three local players that are in the field, or actually five. let me go through the list. Hunter Stewart, who played at Vanderbilt and is on the Walker Cup. He was a sponsor exemption, along with Dylan Healy, who played at Brentwood High School. And then we've got Jason Millard and Chase Naramore, who played at MTSU. And Stephen Fox, who won the U.S. Amateur, I believe, in 2012, played at UT Chattanooga. He's also from Hendersonville, Tennessee, close by. So we got a good local flavor, which is not always prevalent in web.com tour markets.
Yeah, and it's I will tell you, just from and I'm a Nashville resident, although I'm always out at the tour stops doing radio. This town's embraced this thing, and we're going to give it as much publicity as we can on a local and, you know, of course, national PGA Tour radio level. But we're glad you're here. Now it's about time we have another, you know, top shelf event in Nashville, Tennessee. After we lost the old Sara Lee Classic on the LPGA Tour, and then the Bell South went away on the what was then the Senior Tour, now PGA Tour Champions. So, and again, Tim's right. I mean, and I feel the same way. That's why we're here covering it. Because we're going to support the web.com, the PGA Champions, and the PGA Tour. Because we're all in the same family. You know, we're all eating out of the same trough.
That's right.
And drinking out of the same water. That's water right. Hazard, so to speak. So what do you see out here with this golf course as far as the level of difficulty comparable to some of the other courses on the web.com tour?
You know, it'll be interesting to see how it plays. The bones out here are phenomenal. I mean, I've talked to a lot of players this week, and the key word has been it's hard. You know, it's fair, but it's hard. Everything's right in front of you. It'll be very interesting to see what the score is. I mean, obviously, the caliber of player we have at this level, if there's not any wind and there's not a ton of rough, it's hard to defend it. So it'll be interesting. I'd take 14 under and sit in the clubhouse and take my chances, I think.
Wow. And then in Pennsylvania this week, we're saying, I think I made the call yesterday, Tim. What did I say? 4-5 over wins the tournament
at
the U.S. Open?
Yeah.
And it's apropos that the U.S. Open is this week at Oakmont. And this golf course, Nashville Golf and Athletic Club, was originally designed with the mindset of having a PGA Tour event and a U.S. Open here. So, and then next week is a Congressional, which is another U.S. Open court. So, yep. We're just brutalizing all the guys in the PGA Tour web.com tour family the next two, three weeks.
It's going to be a tough week for everybody with the PGA Tour card, that's for sure. But
we got to invite Tim over here. I mean, you've played this course a bunch. Yes. I've played this course a lot. Jim Grunberg, our good friend who owns Seymour Putter Company, who co-hosts Golf Talk America with Tim and I some. Is a member here too. Ned Michaels is a member here. We all play here.
Well, Brant Snedeker
is a member here. So, and all of us will tell you, Tim, we need to get you over here because this golf course will eat your lunch. I mean, if you spray the ball here, forget about it.
Yeah. And the greens are original greens at Bruce. And do you know Bruce Devlin's here today?
Bruce is here.
Bruce
we need to get
today.
Him on the show. I didn't realize he was here.
He is actually out playing in the Pro-Am right now, but he is a guest of the tournament, kind of seeing his. Well, gosh, how long has that been? 71 to 2016. 35 years, is that right?
I need to make a phone call, and I don't think Lou is going to spend a whole week up in Oakmont. So Lou Graham, of course, is from Nashville, exactly. Is here. And we need to get Lou out here, give a little U.S. Open support to the web.com tour.
Yeah, well, I have a funny Lou Graham story.
Oh, let's hear it.
Like I said, I grew up in Nashville on Chickering Lane, and Lou Graham lived about four or five houses down the street from me, and all of a sudden he wins the U.S. Open, and he moves to Belle Meade. But,
oh, jeez.
And the only reason it upset me because he had a daughter that was smoking hot.
Well, the story I've heard about Lou Graham, the funniest, is we're getting off base, but I've got to tell this, is he was so cheap that he had a budget for every tournament that he went to, and he took his family to a lot of tournaments. And if it was a dollar more than he had budgeted for the hotel room for that tournament, he wouldn't do it. He'd go to a cheaper hotel.
I did not know that about him.
Lou was cheap.
I did.
Well, that's a nice story.
Yeah. So we're hammering Lou Graham. He's a friend. He's a nice man. But he was a spendthrift. Let's just call it that way.
I didn't know that. I respected him a great deal, and he had a great family. And I missed him when they moved out of the neighborhood.
Yeah, he's a good dude, and he's been on our show a bunch of times. So, well, Patrick Nickel, I know you're a busy man, so you've got to get back out there and herd the troops around. And congratulations on being here, getting this tournament here. Thank you for what you do, for sure. And have a great week and a great success, all the success in the world to you.
Well, thanks, and thanks for having me on today. I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, it's been great. Thank you so much. Patrick Nickel, Tournament Director of the Nashville Golf Open here at Nashville Golf and Athletic Club. And so, Tim, that's he's a good dude.
Yeah.
He's a player, too. I imagine he could play some golf.
And it's the first year. It's one of five tournaments on the web.com tour that is brand new this year. So they've got new venues that they're breaking into it. And I'd imagine that getting a title sponsor like last week, Homa won at the Rust-Oleum Championship and the Nashville Golf Open, I'm sure has been working on sponsorships as well to try to get that, because that's what it's all about. And it's great to see, because you need the web.com. It's the AAA for the PGA Tour. As we said, Smiley Kaufman's and so many others come out of the web.com, and it's a necessity, and you got to have it, but you've got to have the backers that want to be a part of it. That's the real challenge, is finding companies that want to put money into it. And I'm sure that they'll continue to do it. And Nashville being a great market for golf, it seems that that they'll have no problem doing that next year.
It certainly is, and outside of the fact that we have Nissan here, we have Bridgestone here, we have HCA here, we have Franklin American Mortgage here, we also have a little music industry here. So there is no reason in the world, in my opinion, why we can't get Sony, any of them. I'm not going to single them out, but the publishing houses and the music companies and record labels to get behind this tournament, because this could turn into the premier event on the web.com tour as far as entertainment, parties, fun, and let's face it, we're at the end of the day, whether we're playing golf on the tour or we're doing this radio show or whatever, we're all entertainers. People want to laugh. They want to have fun. And there's no reason in the world why we can't get more than enough money out of this community in Nashville, Tennessee, and the surrounding area. With what industry and people we have here. Strong banking community. First Tennessee Bank is here. Regions, Pinnacle just merged with Avenue Bank. A good friend of ours, Ron Samuels, CEO of Avenue, is a big golf fanatic. If you go to his office, it's like going into the World Golf Hall of Fame. It's a golf museum in Ron Samuels' office. So with Snedeker living here, you got Ben Crane that's moved here. No. I could go on and on forever. But, I'm behind it, we're behind it, and we're going to be proponents for getting more of the community behind this thing as far as the financial side of it, to make darn sure that this tournament lasts a long, long time.
Yeah, you're right, because I think in addition just to the golf, think of the after golf, whether it starts on Tuesday, Wednesday, but certainly after every round on Thursday or Friday, the entertainment value that people stick around and they'll have singers from – you can find somebody in Nashville, swing a cat, and find somebody that'll come and perform. So, from the fans' entertainment standpoint, it could be a concert every night. I'm sure they've got music planned for all that. So, a great venue for the web.com, and I'm sure it'll be there for many years to come. Hey, Frank, before we say goodbye to today's show, I want to get back to the U.S. Open. It'll start tomorrow. It's the 116th. Okay. It's very easy to keep up with the numbers, right? Because it's 2016. It's 116th playing of the U.S. Open, this one at Oakmont. Here's a fun stat that I dug up somewhere. Between the last time the Open was played at Oakmont in 2007, and last year's at Chambers Bay. Last year at Chambers Bay, in the final round on Sunday, eight players broke par. Only eight players over the entire four rounds last time at Oakmont. Only eight players had any round under par in an entire 72-hole tournament. That's a big part of the difference between what you might have remember seeing last year at Chambers Bay and what you're going to see at Oakmont. At Chambers Bay, 70 total rounds under par during the four rounds, 70 compared to eight at Oakmont. So strap it on. Get ready as a viewer, as a fan, just like the players. It's going to be nasty out there, but I think a fun kind of nasty. I'm really, really looking forward to the first ball being in the air tomorrow morning.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I can't wait. And being here, so we'll have the open on here in the media center and in the locker rooms and all through the clubhouse at Nashville Golf and Athletic, and we'll be watching the live golf out on the golf course also. So, and we'll give you a report on Friday when we do the show Friday. That there'll be a lot of blood spilled by Friday, and that's not a good term to say right now with everything going on in the world, but. It's going to be brutal. I'll leave it at that. It's going to be brutal both places.
It may make some of those players at theweb.com, if they watch what's going on at Oakmont, go, I'm not so sure I want to join that tour. I'm not sure I want to be
No, I doubt that.
A place like Oakmont, holy smokes. Anyway, it should be a lot of fun.
Well, I got to add one thing, though, Tim. You know, the church pews at Oakmont, you know, the bunkers, the church pews, the only church pews in the world where people will be saying bad words. Yeah. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, yeah. People are praying not to get into the pews. Yeah,
exactly. Praying not to go to church.
Yeah. You don't want to be there for sure. So it all starts tomorrow, both tournaments. So it should be a lot of fun. And that should do it for today's show. We'd certainly like to thank Patrick Nickel, the tournament director at the Nashville Golf Open, for joining us and helping us understand what it's like to put a tournament together first year at Nashville, and many more to come on the web.com tour. And also thanks to Steve Johnson, managing partner at Hank Haney Golf, join us from Oakmont to give us his bird's eye view of what's happening at the site of the U.S. Open. It's going to be a great weekend. So, as I said, get comfortable, both the web.com and the U.S. Open. Great tournaments coming your way. That'll do it for our show. I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being with us. For Frank Bassett and Bobby Raymond, thanks so much. And we will see you next time right here on Golf Talk America. Take care, everybody.